Oliver Callan on RTE Radio 1, sponsored by It's For Women. You are not 9 to 5 and neither are we. Conveniently open online 365 days per year, 24 hours per day.
Now, my guest is an award-winning photographer with an unusual interest in capturing the most striking and powerful images of structures on the brink. Buildings with fascinating histories that have been abandoned for all sorts of reasons, as well as buildings about to be demolished. Over 200 of her stunning images feature in her new book, Abandoned Ireland 2, which is obviously a follow-up one from an earlier installment. And she joins me this morning from Belfast to tell me about some of the places she's visited. Good morning, Rebecca Brownlee.
Good morning, Brendan. How are you?
I'm good. How are you this morning?
Yeah, I'm great. Nice to chat to you.
Thanks a million for taking our call. So your book, Abandoned Ireland 2, which I have in my hand now, stunning, congratulations, is a sequel. So can you give us an overview of what readers might expect?
Well, the overview really is going to be photography based, and then some history on the people who lived in these properties, what their lives was like, their family life, their work life. And yeah, it just takes you down in the past.
Yeah, it's just amazing. Take me back to where your passion for taking photographs of abandoned buildings came from.
Well, initially it all started, I won my first camera when I was about 12 on a TV game show hosted by Patrick Keelty.
There you go.
Yeah, so that's where that started, with the photography. And then later on, maybe when I was in my 30s, I was part of a paranormal group. So I was the team location finder and the photographer for the group. This was taking me into buildings like this. And then eventually I abandoned the ghosts and just became more interested in the photography and the history, who lived there, and started to document, you know, those lives.
So I'm interested in the paranormal bit, but you've abandoned it and you've moved past it, because it was just a group that you were a part of as a hobby, was it?
It was, yeah. It was just an interest, yeah. And then it just grew from there, really. So yeah, it's taken me to where I am today.
So I do a TV show on RTE called Keys to My Life, where I take people back through the houses they've lived in, and we walk them through the halls of their past, and some of them are derelict. And I have to say, this really touched a chord with me, because I think when you go into old places, you get a sense of the people that were there.
Oh, Brendan, you do, 100%. You know, sometimes, especially the smaller dwellings, you know, the cottages, you walk in and sometimes it feels as though there's been a fire on the night before. You know, it's warm, it's welcoming. And I think that's a real testament to who lived there previously. And it's quite nice. But then on the other side, you can go into places and, you know, the energy feels dark and you're not wanted. So I would respect that and I would leave.
Would you?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a really direct question. Do you believe in ghosts?
I do, yeah. I do believe there's something. I'm not quite sure what they are.
There's an energy.
But there's, oh, definitely. Definitely is.
Yeah, and when you go into certain buildings, old or even, yeah, definitely vacant buildings leave a residual energy. I get that. You feel that sometimes, don't you?
Yeah, you do. But they say there is a stone tape theory where energy, you know, any events that have happened in these properties, the stone records those events. So possibly that's what we're picking up on. Who knows?
So the stone record the vibration or the energy that will come from whatever this event is, good, bad or indifferent.
Yeah, so they say.
Oh, OK. I love that. Uh-huh. Yeah, because I've done a few walkbacks with people to derelict places, and there'll be a postcard or a cup just sitting there, and it you just then imagine who had that cup last, what year was that. So it's a great way to engage with history, isn't it?
It is. It's a social history, and a social history I think that sometimes we have forgotten about. So I think that is what people are drawn to whenever I do post the photos on my Facebook page and whatever. Everyone can relate to it, and we all have those, you know, thoughts, and you know, you imagine who did drink in that cup of tea and who were they with and what was their life like. So yeah, I totally get that.
You just really made me remember something. Recently I was filming it with somebody who I shall remain nameless, but their grandmother had passed away 25 years ago, and we went back to the house and they had not moved a thing from the day she died. Her magazine was still open, her cigarettes were still on the sideboard, her sweets were still there, and they just couldn't bring themselves to empty the room. It was very emotional. Yes, really, we do imprint on the buildings we habitat, don't we?
Oh, we do, certainly. And is that building still standing? Can I go and visit?
Do you know what? I'll hook you up after the show. I think they'd love you to capture, actually, because...
I'd love that.
Yeah, because she was a very religious woman, so there's loads of religious iconography on, around the place, and would put you really in mind of my own grandmother, or, you know, women of that age and stuff like that. But yeah, amazing. I'm really interested in this stuff, obviously. Do you have challenges accessing the building?
Not really. You know, I'm at the advantage now where owners and developers contact me now and ask me to come and document the property before it's renovated if it's demolished.
Yeah.
So, and you know, it's a real privilege to have that, you know, to be in that position. Challenges, not in that respect, no.
So you're recording them sometimes before they're being demolished. So you're their last grab of history.
Yeah, I am. So, I would go in and photograph it, and then
beautiful.
The building would either be renovated. I would go back and see the renovation and then document it again. So it's really nice to see the buildings going through those stages.
And I had a good dive into the book. I mean, the book is stunning, I have to say. And it's really surprising.
Thank you so much.
Really surprising. And it's kind of like discovering bits of Ireland I didn't know existed, which I love about it. And, you know, I've lived here all my adult life nearly, and it's just amazing. But you don't go into too much detail about locations, which there's a reason for, right?
Yeah, you have to protect the locations. You know, if everyone knew where the location was, you know, you're going to get people who have perhaps want to go in and loot the building. Yeah. And, you know, so I just wouldn't take that risk. You know, you have to protect them.
So let's dive in, right? It's a beautiful... The cover picture reminds me of the big hall in the RDS. It's coffee and muffins. It's a derelict sort of coffee shop. Where is that, the cover picture?
That is the... it's a shopping centre in Bangor, County Down.
It's stunning. It's a great...
Isn't it?
Yeah, it's a little picture of the 1960s, 50s, I'd say even, 50s and 60s.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, walking around that shopping centre in particular, it was almost apocalyptic. I felt as though, is there going to be a zombie coming out at me?
Yeah, that's what it looks like.
It was very unique, but very enjoyable to visit it, too.
But I'm going to go straight to page 243 to a cult villa in Meath.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like this. It's almost Gaudi looking, if people know that architecture from Barcelona. It's got this swirly construct on a pond, which is definitely man-made. What is this building?
So this was built by an artist, I believe. He didn't have correct planning permission, so then it was halted. But just look at the fireplaces and stuff and that.
Stunning. They're like these swirly cement effect, flame effect, but made out of cement. Like it's just all curves and it's stunning.
It is. But this has to be one of the most unique buildings I've ever visited. Very bizarre. No furniture in it other than a piano.
Wow. It's amazing.
Yeah.
How did you find this? Did somebody contact you about it?
This one's actually quite well known. So I went and visited it, and it's one that stands out. It's just very unique.
You write in the book, if there's one house that could inspire me to write a book, it would be Mick Murphy's cottage in Kerry.
Oh yeah.
Tell me about that.
So this is how this came about. My first book, I was in a bookshop and a local photographer came in and told me about Mick Murphy. I'd never heard about him, and he said that he had went and documented him while he was alive.
Wow.
And he told me his story, that he won the Irish Ras race. His training regime was he took a knife and he nicked a cow's vein and he drank the blood straight from the vein.
Oh gosh.
And I was just so captivated. I was like, yes, I have to see if I can get in contact with his family, go down and visit, which I did, and went down to the house, and his cousin put some artifacts back into the house for me to photograph.
Oh, wow.
And just Mick's life story was incredible. You know, this man, he didn't go to school. He taught himself how to read. And everything he learnt in his life was through reading books, and he perfected everything, you know. And actually, I wish I had met him when he was alive. You know, I feel sad that I didn't. He would have been incredible to chat to.
And I'm looking here, it's a really amazing photograph of a completely derelict, has glass windows still in, and a disused bench in front of a tree in front of the cottage. So it's a really, it's a beautiful layered picture. But you have like a dartboard with darts still in it, and skittles and children's books, and a cane in the corner. So you can get a kind of a sense of the human from it. And
you
it's It's a beautiful old cottage. Then the other one I love is the Carr graveyard. Tell me about that.
Yeah, everyone loves to see a rusty old car, don't they?
What is that? It's like Havana. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, there's so much character. So these cars, you know, they're very, they'd be quite old. You know, they'd be Mark 1 BMWs, Fiestas, Volkswagens. And just to see those all lying out in the field, they make a lovely photograph, though. And especially people of my age, we do remember them on the road at some stage. But yeah, they're just beautiful to see. I love to photograph a nice old car.
And how did you find the Carr graveyard? Did somebody tell you? Again, somebody told you about it. Now you're in the position where people are coming to you with bits.
Yeah, yeah. I was told about that one. I went down and photographed it. And yeah, I enjoyed that one too. I enjoy every visit I go to.
Yeah, I can hear it in your voice. Now, where, if I ever got married, I have fantasized that this location would be, I'd hire this for the wedding, Duckett's Grove in Carlow. My sister lives in Carlow.
Oh, wow.
At Duckett's Grove. Yeah. I pulled into Duckett's Grove once, which is like a disused manor house, right? Or a mansion house, you'd say, wouldn't you? Okay. It was a big gentry lord, and it's kind of empty on the inside, but you can see towers were added at different times. And as I pulled in the car, a murder of crows flew out of it over my car. It's literally like driving onto the set of a horror film. It was fantastic. I loved it.
Isn't it? Imagine being there at night, though.
Have you been at night?
No, I haven't, but I don't know if I would.
Duckett's Grove. Explain Duckett's Grove to people. It's even the name, Duckett's Grove.
I know. So Duckett's Grove actually started out as a modest three-storey house.
Did it?
John Duckett. It was built for John Duckett, and then they extended it and added the Gothic towers and the gargoyles and all around it. It's just stunning, but they said it was considered, it was done as a vanity project just to show off their wealth and prosperity. So the viewing tower actually on it, the big main tower, has a 360-degree view around it. The views up in there must be incredible.
And you've added in that a woman was squatting in it in the 70s, Frances Brady.
Right, yeah.
Tell me about her. I love that idea that this woman moved in of her own accord and lived in one room in a derelict old manor house.
She did. She moved into one of the rooms above the archway. But not only that, she turned it into like an animal sanctuary, and she had horses. And in fact, when I posted my video about it, people contacted me and said, I know Frances because she taught me how to ride horses, and everyone had so many good things to say about her. And, you know, what a woman, though, you know, turning that round off her own bat.
Wow. That's amazing.
Yeah, what a story.
And you have populated the book with some of these anecdotes as well, which is really good. The last people who resided in these buildings. Ireland, as we know, has many, many institutions over the centuries. Psychiatric hospitals is one of them. Have you visited? You went one in Longford, is that right?
Yeah, I've actually visited many of these institutions over the years.
I have two over the years as well. They're kind of terrifying, aren't they?
They are terrifying. But the history there, you know, it's not good history.
No.
And you can feel it within the walls. You know, people were sent there against their will. And, you know, in some cases, they couldn't get out. And I think that's quite disturbing. But it's something in our past, I think, that we shouldn't forget and that we shouldn't let happen again. And I think that's why it's important to document those buildings.
And some of those buildings, as we know, are being renovated and being put to good use, being developed into homes and stuff like that. So I'd love to see them after you capture, though, the history, I think, as well. It's really important to acknowledge the history of it. I think your book does that beautifully, Rebecca.
Thank you so much. Yeah, I think it's important that we have that.
No, listen, I'd love to go out on a shoot with you one day. Abandoned Ireland 2 by Rebecca Brownlee, published by Merriam Press, is in bookshops now and available to buy for a gift or for yourself. It's stunning. Congratulations.
Thank you so much, Brendan.
And thanks for taking our call. Let's take